Welcome to the Harbor Fellowship Church Podcast.
Well, in 1996, this movie came out, Mr. Holland's Opus, starring Richard Dreyfuss, sort of covers the main character, Mr. Holland, covers sort of his 30-year life journey. The movie opens, and he is he wants to compose a great orchestral piece, an opus, but he also needs to make a living. And so he takes a job teaching music at a high school part-time, and you see sort of his inability to engage students and his frustration in doing that and not being able to write his great masterpiece. Well, as the movie progresses, he gets married and has a son, and he needs to keep making money, so he moves to full-time, and you just see the continued progression there of his frustration not being able to write his opus. He does figure out how to teach students better and grows a successful music program in the midst of tension at home and with his son and tension in the school. And then 30 years later, the principal of the school walks into his music office after he's built this great program, and the principal just says, you know, we have budget cuts and the music program is being cut. And so you just sense in him this sense of frustration. My life work, what I really wanted to do, to write the orchestral masterpiece, has never been finished. And as the movie begins to come to an end, you feel that sort of sense of defeat and disappointment in him. But as any great movie, it has sort of a surprise ending. He goes into the big, large auditorium of the school, and all the students that he has taught over the last 30 years are there in the school. All the students he has made a difference in, and they play some of his music in a wonderful band. And then in some closing words from some of the students, I believe the line goes like this: Mr. Holland, we are your opus. We are your opus. We are the ones, we are your lasting legacy, the difference you have made in our lives. It's wonderful. It will bring a tear to your eyes if you have a chance to watch it. And what stirs in me as I watch that is, I think, sort of a universal desire that we want to make a difference in other people's lives. Every one of us wants to do that. We want to leave our legacy, and we know the greatest legacy we can leave is in the lives of other people. And so as we come into this week thinking about In the Harvest, as we're in the midst of this Go series, what I'd like to do this morning is just give a simple way, a simple picture that all of us can make a difference in someone else's life. You may hear that and think, oh no, you know, that's for other people, more skilled, more gifted people. But as for me, no, I'm not able to do that. But I believe what I have this morning is something that every single one of us, no matter age or stage of life, as you see this picture, I trust that God would give you a way that you can live it out. It's for everyone. And in that sense, it's also not something we ever get beyond. Sometimes you might hear this principle today, you might think, oh no, I'm more important. I don't need to engage in this way. But it is something that each one of us never gets beyond. In fact, we'll see the great Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament. Here's how he said, here's how one way that I made a difference in other people's lives. And for some of you this morning who are doing the exact thing that Paul will show us he's doing, and it's not working, you know, you're doing things, but it's just not making any difference in anyone else's life. I hope today that you might be encouraged, even as Paul shows us, to just keep going, to just keep pressing ahead. So that's my hope and prayer for this morning, that we would have greater motivation, greater perspective, greater desire, even as we come into this church, to be a church and to be a church of individuals who want to make a difference in other people's lives. So I want to show you this second metaphor that Paul gives us on how to do that. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, all the way on your Bibles. If you could look that up or turn that on, I'm going to read it for us in a moment. While you're doing that, let me just introduce myself. My name's Jeff Bennett. Just privileged to be the lead pastor here. Welcomed you all this morning. If I haven't had a chance to meet you or greet you, would love to do that. with you at the door afterwards, and then also Harbor Online, whether you're watching now or at another time, just great to see you today as well. Let me read the passage. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 5 through 8, and then after I read, let's pray together. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Let's pray together. God, you've wired us each to want to make a difference in other people's lives. And so, God, I pray this morning that you might give us perspective, you might give us encouragement in that. God, thanks for the word that Paul uses here. There was delight. And God, I pray, Lord, as you might increase our perspective, Lord, that we might find real joy, real delight in caring and loving and walking with others. God, you see the diversity of people here this morning. God, we've all come in with such different weeks. But God, we pray through your spirit, God, my prayer is that you would speak to each one of our hearts. And God, as we read these words, Lord, may our lives reflect them more and may our church reflect them more. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. What Paul is doing here in this chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, is he's giving us four metaphors on what his ministry was like there in the city of Thessalonica. He was only there a short time, at most 3 months, at least 3 weeks. And while he's there, he shares the gospel, he makes disciples, he gets a church started, and then he moves on. And now he's been facing some criticism in his absence. So in some ways, he's reminding people what he was like amongst them to sort of defend his character and his ministry. Last week, he gave us the first metaphor, that of a steward or of a manager. And this week, the tough, strong, masculine Apostle Paul gives us a wonderful feminine metaphor. Did you see it there? He says, I was like a mother amongst you. Just the gentleness, the love, the self-sacrifice. That's the second metaphor that Paul compares his ministry to, that of motherhood. So here's my phrase today, that if you want to note how Paul made a difference in the church there in Thessalonica or how we do ministry that matters, here's how I summarized our message. Ministry that matters looks like motherhood. Ministry that matters looks like motherhood. It's not all it looks like, but Paul's saying here, for his ministry that made a difference in people's lives, it looked like motherhood. Now, as we read and see what Paul is teaching us, here's what we're going to know. We can't do these things in our own strength. We can't live these things out ourselves. And so each of the three ideas I've turned into prayers. Almost prayers we would pray, Lord, may you help me be this way. May you work in my life in this way so that I could have a ministry that matters that looks like motherhood. And we're going to walk through three prayers for us today. And then the third prayer will lead us into our taking of communion time. So look down with me. First prayer, verses 5 and 6. Paul basically goes over his motives there. What were not his motives? And during this time in history, there would have been teachers who would have come into different towns to try to make money. They would have come in with a lot of pomp and circumstance, wanted to seem popular and noteworthy so people would pay to attend their lectures, hear their philosophical ideas. But much of that was done to generate money or fame or glory or praise for these teachers. And Paul's being accused of being the same as them. And so now he's reminding the church that he started that he was not like that. And he's going to go over the motives he did not have. And so what I wrote here was this prayer for us. Even as we look to do ministry that matters, the prayer is this: Lord, purify my motives. Purify my motives. Paul's saying my motives were pure and they were good. And we're going to look in here and see this in three different ways. And so what I've tried to do, you'll see on the next three slides, is I've tried to take what Paul said was not his motive. And I've tried to just expand that a little bit in modern day ideas so we can understand it and then get a prayer out of that we could pray in each of these three specific motive areas. So you'll see on the next slide, Paul says we never used flattery. Well, what is flattery? It's excessive praise. Just saying a lot of things don't even have to be true, just so you can gain a relationship, just so people will like you and favor you. Here's how I summarized what Paul's saying he did not do. I didn't tell you what you wanted to hear just so you'd like me. I didn't tell you what you wanted to hear just so you'd be my friend, just so you'd follow me. And I think we probably all know the temptation of that, of just telling people what they want to hear. You know, don't ruffle any feathers, just create a friend, you know, and then people will be fine. But so here would be our prayer, as we would say, Lord, would you help me in that? Help me have pure motives. Lord, help me tell the truth, even if it costs me their approval. Lord, would you help me be someone that speaks the truth? And that's what Paul is saying. He said, I came in and told you the truth about your life and about who God is and about the nature of sin and the nature of salvation. I just didn't say what you wanted to hear. And so, Lord, may you make us that same way. Here's the second idea. You can see there in the text. Paul says, we didn't put on a mask to cover up greed. It's almost like he's got a mask on and you look behind it and he's greedy. He's just in it for himself. So here's how I summarized what Paul was saying. I wasn't in it for what I could get out of you. I wasn't in it for what I could get out of you. He says, I didn't come to town just looking to get your money or anything else. And again, we can sort of know that at times, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we may engage with someone or try to make a difference, and really we're thinking, oh, I could get something out of this. And so here would be the second prayer. Lord, help me want nothing but their good. Help me want nothing but their good. Lord, as I look to make a difference in a life, as you might bring someone along, as I want to do ministry that matters, Lord, what I want to care about is not what I get out of this, but only help me minister for their good. And then thirdly, look down, Paul says, we weren't looking for praise from people, not from you or from anyone else. And so here's how I summarized it. I wasn't using our relationship to build my reputation. You know, sometimes we could engage with someone and think, oh, this will be a great story. I'm going to tell everyone this. This will be a great example. And what Paul is saying, I could have been happy to minister in secret. And so that's how I made out the prayer. Lord, help me serve without needing anyone to see it. Lord, if I truly want to make a difference when I'm not in this, for anything that people would think about me, I can serve in the background. No one needs to see. I can just engage in love in that way. So those were Paul's first prayers. Lord, purify my motives. May I not just say what people want to hear? May I not look to get out of this? And may I just be able to do it in secret without anyone seeing? Since I've been back from my sabbatical over the last couple of weeks, I had an opportunity to talk to someone a couple of weeks ago and had heard this story and just asked him to clarify it a little bit for me. But it's someone in our church who just so graciously, for over a year, week in, week out, I don't want to say every week, but most weeks, has gone and done some ministry of care and some spiritual ministry with someone else in our congregation. They've just gone every week. They've loved, they've cared, they've shown up. And as I talked to this person, they said to me, oh, you know, and I was thanking them for doing that. And as I was saying that, they said, well, you know, it's been difficult at times. There's been some difficult weeks. And I said to them, because I know a little of the situation myself, I said, oh, I can imagine it's been difficult. I can imagine it's been hard. But thank you for your loving care to just show up week after week after week and engage with someone, and no one in the church will ever know that story. But thank you for your love and care for them. So that's the first idea here. Paul looks in and he says, ministry that matters looks like motherhood, and our prayer is, Lord, if we want to live that out, help us have pure motives. And then he goes to a second thing. Just look down. He's going to give us a comparison here. It's the end of verse 6 and verse 7. He says this, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Paul's saying, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I could have come in here and just demanded my way, but we didn't do that. Instead, we were like young children. It's the picture of gentleness. And then he says, we were like a nursing mother amongst you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. So here's how I summarize the second thing. What might be Paul's model here? It's simply this: Lord, help me to care deeply. Lord, help me to care deeply. If I want to do ministry that matters, Lord, help me to be someone that cares deeply for other people. I love the contrast here. Paul says he had all power and all authority. He had every right to give out orders, but he never elevated himself, never elevated his own status. He just came down to their level. And then the great Apostle Paul, you know, it's almost like this could be a Mother's Day message here, right? He says, I was like a mother amongst you. I was gentle and giving and patient. Think of a mother with a young child. How caring and loving and self-sacrificing he is. That's the picture that Paul is giving us of his ministry there in the Thessalonican church. So how do we make a difference? How do we make a difference in other people's lives? Lord, would you help me to see needs and care deeply for people? I was remembering back when I was 18 years old. I grew up in Barrie, Ontario. Then I went to Chicago to go to Moody Bible Institute. And I ended up, Moody Bible Institute, first year there. I'm in a dorm room with two other guys. I'm on a bunk bed, on a bottom bunk. It just couldn't have been any sort of worse of a situation, but you're crammed in this little room. And then, you know, you're away from home, and then I get sick, and I've got the flu. And it's just the worst experience. If you're a college student now, and you come to me, and you say, I'm here at Broad, or Niagara College, and I got sick this week, here's what I always say: oh, that's just the worst thing in the world. It's awful to be sick and be away from home, because I have flashbacks to this moment, right? I'm in my dorm room, I'm throwing up, I'm going to the bathroom, I'm laying in this bed, my roommates aren't happy with me, right? They don't even want me around because I'm going to get them sick. They sort of want to try to shoo me away. I got nowhere to go. People are coming in the room, hey, you want to go to the gym? You want to go hang out? I'm like, no, I'm sick. I don't want to do anything. I just want to lay in this bed here. And I just remember those 2 days, those 48 hours, I was like, oh, this is what it means to be an adult, just away from home and no one to care for you. And I just so wanted to be back home and be cared for and have my mom bring something, you know, to take care of me. So I always remember that moment of just being so alone, so in need of care. Now, I'm not bitter about this at all, but here's what I would have loved to have been able to report is that somewhere along the way, one of my other 19-year-old friends saw my misery and brought me some crackers to eat. You know, because I didn't have anything for 2 days, or brought me a can of ginger ale, or did anything to care for me. It would have been so wonderful if someone had have done something, but no one did. And that's okay. I'm not bitter or angry about that at all. But the reason I share that story is because you can just picture in those moments how a small thing could have made a world of difference for me. In fact, if someone had done something like that, I would have told that story for the next 30 years. You'll never believe what someone did for me. It would have been so meaningful and so helpful. And I think that's the picture that Paul is giving us here. You know, people were in need, and I came along and cared deeply for them. Think of a baby unable to do so much for themselves, and Paul comes along and he's able to do that. It just reminds us of the value of small acts. A phone call, an encouragement, a small gift, showing up, just simply being present in other people's lives can matter so deeply. You know, Austin, our assistant pastor, has got all sorts of wonderful things happening in care ministry around here. Care companions, biblical counseling, visitation, benevolent, under our deacons fund. So much we're doing as a church. And if you're interested in hearing more how organizationally we're doing that, but this is more than that. Certainly it's not less than that. But this is each one of us as a church saying, Lord, might there be needs? And might I be able to do one thing in one way to make a difference in someone else's life? God, where might I be identifying a simple thing that I could do to care for someone? Now, I think what Paul is teaching us here is he's saying, Lord, help me care deeply. What I've just talked about is practical needs, but it's not just the practical. The illustration, I think, is more of spiritual babies, spiritual infants who are just starting out in their spiritual journey. And Paul was saying, I was coming along those who were new believers, new disciples, and I was walking with them. I was helping them along. And that's a good reminder for all of us. Here's what we would all agree on. Not any of us have all of our things together. But some of us, as we have traveled further, has something to offer to those who are just beginning their spiritual journey. And Paul was saying, I was willing to come along. You know, Paul's not saying this. This is not his picture of motherhood. Get your act together. You know, I will take care of you if you just grow up and you get everything organized. No, Paul's saying, I understand that when I'm engaging with people, there could be messiness. There could be things, but I want to come alongside and be ever so patient and ever so caring and move people along. And let me just remind us all of this. None of us are beyond this. If Paul is saying, I was like a mother amongst you, I cared for you that much, then this opens up the door for all of us to say, this is for us too. Not one of us is beyond this kind of care. And then lastly, maybe parents, you're here today. Maybe there's a family member and you've been doing just this. You've been caring and loving and you're like, yes, you could use me as an example for this sermon because I have done all of these things and you're saying, but it's just not making any difference. It's just not changing anyone. Well, let me say a couple things in that regard. This is not the only metaphor we have. We have two more metaphors coming over the next 2 weeks that help balance things out. But hopefully today, in the midst of your frustration, and sometimes we can just be so frustrated with people because they don't want to change. Why don't you get your act together? Why don't you know this? How come you're not further along? That can just well up inside of us. This has been a good reminder for me and maybe for you this morning. Lord, may you just help me care deeply for people where they are in life. Just love them there as a mother would love their own child. God, thank you for this picture and may you help me to do just that. So that's our second picture. Ministry that matters looks like motherhood. Lord, purify my motives. That's the motive question. What's the method question? Here, help me care deeply. That's what Paul's saying made a difference there through his ministry in that city. And then lastly, Paul says, I gave two things. I gave two things. I was caring deeply, but two things I was sharing. Two things was coming out of my life. And here's how I summarize it. It's our theme verse. I simply said this. This is the prayer. Lord, help me give the message and myself. You see that in the text there. Paul says, we were delighted to share the gospel with you. That's the message. But he says it wasn't just the gospel. We also shared our lives as well. So let me just talk about those. First, the message, and then myself. What's our heart for this month called Go Month? Well, we fasted and prayed. We had worship night, and thank you for all of you that participated in different ways over that this last week. We fasted and prayed because we want to be a church that shares the message, and we want it to be fruitful, and we know we can't do that in our own strength. So we fasted and prayed and saying, God, would you work this week? And now, as Ethan has explained to us, this week we're going to head out 8 times, 3 hours each, for a total of 24 hours out in the harvest. And what's our prayer? That God might break through. That people might hear the message and be transformed. I was thinking this week of the phrase, the gospel changes everything. And as I've prayed for this week, might people hear the gospel and might everything change for them? Might everything change? You know, again, not all at once, but we know the gospel in our lives continues to ripple out and change us. And oh, as we would meet people and encounter them, might they hear the gospel. And over this year and the years and the decades to come, might the gospel change every area of their heart and their family, and might it ripple out like that. That's our prayer. God, may the gospel change everything for this life and for eternity. And I so appreciated our worship night as I just heard person after person share how the prayer and fasting time just created a deeper desire in their hearts for God to work, a greater burden for those that are far from God. Some of you know these stats. 450,000 people about live in Niagara. If 10% of those people are born-again Christians, which we would say Canada's probably 6%, but the math is easier if it's 10%, that means there's 400,000 people in Niagara that are far from God, probably over 12 million across Ontario. And what we pray for and we long for, as Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. We pray that there might be many people who would find and hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and the gospel would change everything for them. And so if you were a farmer and you went to someone and said, you know, I want to have a plentiful harvest. I want to have a plentiful harvest. I want to see a huge crop. You'd get lots of advice on how to accomplish that from lots of different people. But here's one piece of advice I know you would hear from whoever you asked. If you said, I want to have a plentiful crop, what should I do? Here's what everyone would tell you. Plant a lot of seed. Right? If you want to harvest a great crop, then throw out a lot of seed. The greater the seed, the greater the harvest. And so that's what we want to do this week as a church. We want to put out a lot of seed, scatter it everywhere we can. That's why we're praying for at least 72 different workers to go out and scatter the gospel seed. That's why we're praying we'll have opportunity to scatter that seed 400 times. And we're praying for 5 people that might hear the gospel and might be transformed. And then that our church would be a continue to grow and be changed by this exercise. So Harbor, that's what we're doing this week. Lord, help me get the message out. Help me scatter that seed so that people might hear it and we might see more lives transformed. The other thing that's happening this week is that we are hosting leaders from different communities across Ontario who are coming to learn from us and go back then to their communities and do something similar. I think now there are, the number I've heard is now across Canada, there are now 20 different places where people have come and learned from us, and we're still working and equipping and training them, and now they are going out across Canada to see the gospel shared. Just think of that, Harbor. Think of how gracious God has been to us, that all that has begun here, and God has used us to see the gospel seed shared generously across Canada, and may God continue to grow that. So that's our heart. That's our heart, to share gospel seed, but not just to stop there. We want to see new disciples this week, and ultimately, we want to see new churches started. We want to see leaders raised up who will say, I can begin a church. You think if we wanted to reach 1% of Niagara, that'd be 4,000 people of lost people. We'd bring the number down to 396,000 people far from God. Here's what that could mean. You can go either way with these numbers. That would mean 100 people who would just simply say, I can start a church and have 40 new disciples in it. Or it could mean 40 people who say, I'll start a church of 100. I'd take either group of people. But we are praying that God might raise up many people who would say, in my home, I can start a group in my neighborhood, and as God would grow it, may it turn into a church start where we could see the number of lost people decrease in Niagara. So that's our prayer. This is what Paul is saying. Lord, help us get the message out, but it's not just the message. Paul says, I got the message out, but I also gave of myself. I shared my life. So it's not just a message, but it's a message along with sharing our lives. And then here's how I wrote it. You'll see it on the next screen. Where the gospel multiplies, people share their lives. Where the gospel multiplies, people share their lives. And that's our heart as a church. May we spread the gospel generously. Oh, but may we also be a church and a people that share our lives. Ministry that matters looks like motherhood. Paul's saying it looks like sharing our lives with one another. One example of that, if you're at the worship night, you heard some of this story. For about 2 years, Sue and I have known someone, and they've talked to us how in their job, they have a relationship with someone that they've been trying to share the gospel with. They've been sort of working, trying to share the gospel. Now, in this relationship, there's a little bit of a power distance, so they have to be careful not just to download the gospel. They've got some occupational rules, which many of you understand, but they've done a really good job trying to navigate that well, praying for this person, but only realizing they can bring them so far. So then at the worship night, Sue and I know this is happening, and then someone begins to share a story I share a story, and the family sounds very similar to the family of the friend that Sue and I know. And so they're sharing the story, and Sue leans over to me, and she says, "Is this the same story?" And so I'm hearing it, and I say to Sue, "Oh, no, it couldn't be. That would be impossible." And sure, the story goes along, and sure enough, it's the same family. And here's what happened. Here's our friend who's working with this family. And then you know what God does? About a month ago, sends our In the Harvest team to this family's door. And they knock on the door, meet another family member, and a relationship begins. And now the gospel is fully getting in there because of that connection. And so that relationship is happening. And then some of you at Harbor begin to hear of this story and know there's some practical needs. And you rally to serve this family in practical ways. And Sue and I were just amazed. We said, "God, this is amazing. We've been hearing this story for 2 years. Someone doing as much as they could. But now you send someone from In the Harvest and you raise up a church to care." That's often how In the Harvest works. That's often how we'll see God work this week. As we go out, God's already at work. He's got things he's already doing, and he's taking and connecting those to the people in the harvest, connecting them to a church that's willing to care and share their lives, and God brings all of that together to see new disciples made. And so I'm looking forward to hearing the stories of how God might work this week. Ministry that matters looks like motherhood. God, would you purify our motives so we would serve with pure hearts? God, would you help us to care deeply? Help us to see real needs. Help us to care for them. And God, may you help us as a church this week to give the message, yes, but also to give our lives on top of that. And then as you think of that last idea, Lord, help me give the message and myself. Can I just use that picture to lead us into communion? Did Jesus fully give the message? Yes, in every turn. Think of Christ fully giving the message, never holding back once, never flattering, never just telling what people wanted to hear. Christ fully gives the message. In fact, on the cross, when he says, "It is finished," one of the meanings of that is, "I have told you all the truth." Jesus fully gives the message. But let's just not stop there. Jesus, yes, he fully gives the message, but he fully gives himself. As you think of these elements, the bread and the grape juice representing Christ's broken body, his spilled blood, what this represents is Christ not only gave us the message fully, but he fully gave himself, suffered and died for us. And as Paul looks in and says, "We gave you both," he's just merely saying, we did it to some degree, but Christ did it fully. So as you would look and think of these elements, can we just for a moment worship Christ for what he's done for us? That he didn't hold back on the message. He came to this earth, lowered himself, humbled himself so that we might know all the truth of salvation. But it was so personal. He cared so deeply with such pure motives so that we might know the life he offers, so that the gospel might change everything for us. That's what leads us into communion. So the Bible says as we come into a communion time, we should just examine ourselves. And so I'm just going to invite you now for just 30 seconds, just to bow your head and to examine yourself. Is there any sin in your life that you need to confess? Is there anything, God, you just want to worship Christ for what he's done? But just prepare your hearts now, and then I'll explain how we're going to take communion together. So let's bow our heads. Just examine ourselves, prepare our hearts to take communion now. So, Father, we come. God, not one of us is worthy to come to this table. God, we've already sung it today. Our sins, they are many, but your mercy is more. So God, we come and confess our sin. We know that Christ died for us. We know he gave himself for us. And so God, we come and recognize that and just receive your mercy as we remember Christ now. In his name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for another encouraging message from God's Word. Our prayer is that you have been built up and spurred on to take the next step in your walk with Jesus Christ. At Harbor, our vision is to glorify God as we share the gospel, make disciples, start churches, and multiply leaders. Our mission is to see everyone in our church walking with someone from disenchantment to discipleship. If you have questions about who Jesus is, would like to be prayed for, or if you would like to talk with one of our pastors, please visit our website at harborfellowship.com. We would love to connect with you. If you have questions about the ministries of Harbor Fellowship Church, would like training in how to share the gospel, or if the Lord is prompting you to support the ministries of Harbor financially, please visit our website, harborfellowship.com. Join us next time as we once again open God's Word together and take the next step from disenchantment to discipleship. This podcast is a production of Harbor Fellowship Church in St. Catharines, Ontario.